Welcome back, everyone. Season 3, episode 13 of What Are Your Thoughts? In this episode, I'm going to be talking about what to watch for as the year closes out in terms of 401k matches, specifically making sure that if you front-loaded your contributions earlier in the year, that you're still getting that full match. And then I'm going to cover a more in-depth topic about sequence of returns risk. And that just means talking about the order with which the returns happen when a person retires and how that impacts their overall plan, portfolio, and longevity for retirement. After the disclaimer, we will jump in. Thanks for listening.
Doug Osterhart works for LifePoint Planning. All opinions expressed by Doug or any podcast guests are solely their own opinion and do not reflect the opinion of LifePoint Planning. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for investment decisions. Clients of LifePoint Planning may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast.
All right. Thanks for being here, everyone. This episode is the 13th installment of this season, and I wanted to make sure that we cover some relevant topics. I'm also doing a new format where Spotify has allowed videos in terms of their podcasting. So I'm going to try to upload a full video, and especially importantly, I guess, for this topic, especially the sequence of returns risk, there are some visuals, and I'll include the links as well in the description, but there's visuals to what I'm talking about when I talk about sequence of returns risk and why that matters for people. Now, the first topic, talking about matching contributions. So I have a few clients, actually a good amount of clients, that are at General Motors. So I'm using them as an example, and it's probably the benefits package I'm most familiar with. So I wanted to at least talk about their 401k plan, and something alarming, I should say, that I came across in the benefits package. So I'm sharing it on my screen. But basically, you know, if you're a GM employee, you want to make sure that you're taking advantage of the full match that GM offers. However, as we get late in the year, a lot of my clients are approaching that amount that maxes out their 401k for the year. So we want to make sure that we get that full match. Well, why wouldn't you get the full match? Here's why. In GM's benefit booklet, they mention here the GM matching contribution is only made if a participant continues to maintain a 4% employee contribution throughout the year. What does this mean? The GM matching contribution cannot be front-loaded, aka contributing a greater amount at the beginning of the year, and is made each payroll period based on your contributed salary of 4%. Therefore, while you may consider front-loading to ensure you reach the maximum tax advantage savings amount, it is your responsibility to continue an employee contribution of at least 4% each pay period throughout the entire year. So when you log in to the 401k on Fidelity's net benefits, and you open up the contributions tab, it is basically clear as mud. It says, important note, if you reach the annual IRS contribution limit, including employee and employer contributions to 12/31, right, December 31st, all matching contributions will cease. If catch-up contributions are your only contributions to the retirement plan, you must elect at least a 4% basic catch-up election. As a reminder, you must defer 4% in order to receive your full GM matching contribution. Now, again, this is basically clear as mud, but what you should look for is when you log in and look at your contributions, you want to make sure that you are indeed getting that match. Otherwise, if you aren't contributing in the correct way, the matches just cease to exist in your plan, which is pretty ridiculous in my opinion, but that's just how this plan works. Now, what I've seen from other companies is that they will do like a true up at the end of the year. Like if you, let's say you had your 401k maxed out by September, let's say, And they will go back in at the end of the year and say, oh, you did indeed max this out. We're going to go ahead and true up and give you your full match. Now, it does not look like GM does that. And this may not be specific to GM. This could be other companies across the board. So the advice here, or something to think about, I should say, is to make sure that, you know, if you're saving in your 401k plan and you hit the IRS maximum amount for the year, for most people that's $20,500 as a base, and then there's a catch-up period if you're over 50, or a catch-up amount if you're over 50. Either way, make sure that you're getting the full match inside of your 401k plan, especially if you have front-loaded it or if you got a bonus at the beginning of the year that you put into your 401k. You want to make sure that you are taking advantage of that full possible match in the 401k account. All right, moving on to the sequence of returns risk and just talking about what that even is. And I have the visuals again on my screen. I'm doing that video piece that now that Spotify allows that for podcasts, but I'll also upload it in the normal platforms, you know, YouTube and things, so you can see it, and then there'll be links in the description as well. But basically, talking about sequence of returns risk, and all that means is the order in which the returns happen at different times in an investment portfolio. It might sound confusing, or it might not, you know, matter to some people right now, but 2022 is a prime example of why this should be discussed and why it's important. And the main key here is to talk about when negative returns happen in a portfolio. So what I'm showing on the screen right now is looking at two different investors that have $1 million at the beginning of age 65, and they then look at the portfolio values at age 90. Well, if we talk about, which is commonplace in the financial world, average returns, right? If you get, you know, 6%, 8%, whatever the percentage is on average over the long term, you know, and just ride out all the market downturns, you know, you'll be successful. Well, that's true when you're accumulating and building the wealth, but when you're distributing the wealth in retirement, it becomes really, really important about when those negative years occur. If they occur at the beginning of a retirement period, they can adversely affect the portfolio to a way higher degree than if the negative returns occur at the end of the retirement time horizon. So what I'm showing here is two different retirees, Mr. Green and Mr. Brown. And Mr. Green retires and he experiences three positive years of returns, his first few years of retirement, and Mr. Brown experiences three negative consecutive years in retirement. Now, if they hadn't taken any withdrawals out of their portfolios and they both averaged 6% from ages 65 to 90, they would have the exact same balance. Because what we're doing here is taking the returns from A to Z and looking at them from ages 65 to 90. And then in the other example, we're taking the returns from Z to A. We're literally flipping them around, doing a total 180 for Mr. Brown, who experiences down markets at the beginning. So as we can see here, they both start with $1 million. The returns from A to Z happen, and then Mr. Green has 4.2 million at the end or at age 90, but Mr. Brown, his returns are Z to A. He has the same 4.2 million because the returns are the same, they just happened in a different order. On average, they earn the same percentage. This will be way easier to follow with visuals, so that's why I'm doing it video wise, but I'm trying to explain it the best I can too. For the people that are listening audio only. Now, this looks all well and good. The issue is when we start adding in withdrawals to the portfolio, that's where things really matter. And that's why it's important to have plans and to plan for these sequence of returns that could just happen, right? You could just magically retire in a year where the markets were down, and that can really hurt your portfolio long term if you're taking money out and there's a negative return. So the example that I'm swapping to now is the same example, Mr. Green and Mr. Brown, but now we're adding in a 5% withdrawal. So they both start with $1 million and they're going to each take out $50,000 per year. Mr. Green, as you can remember, experiences positive returns at the beginning of the retirement phase, right, at age 65, and Mr. Brown experiences negative returns at the beginning of retirement. So what this chart is showing is that if you experience positive returns at the beginning of retirement, generally you're okay. Now, in this case, Mr. Green starts with $1 million, takes out $50,000 every single year, and he experiences positive years at the beginning of retirement. And at age 90, his million has actually grown to $2.5 million, even though he's taken out $50,000 per year. He gets that same 6% return on average. Now, if we look at Mr. Brown, he did not fare as well. He had 3 years of consecutive negative returns at the beginning of retirement, and he actually ran out of money at age 82. So at the end of age 82, his portfolio is now $0. They didn't do anything differently, right? Both Mr. Green and Mr. Brown started with $1 million and took out $50,000 per year. But what they did do, or what happened to them, I should say, is that the returns came in a different order. And they had very, very different outcomes. So now you're probably wondering, okay, we know that this order of returns thing is real. What can we do for it? Well, that's where the art and science comes in to financial planning. And there are people that would say, oh, I would just cut expenses. Okay, well, there's other people that are like, no, I don't want to even have to do that, right? I don't want to downsize my life and downsize in retirement. I saved all this money throughout my whole entire career to be able to not have to, you know, worry about money, right? I saved diligently over 30, 40 years, and now I want to be in the position to spend the money. So we can take this down a lot of different paths, but making sure that you have a plan for how you specifically view the markets, view risk, and which trade-offs you want to make are going to be really impactful. So what would some of those trade-offs be? Well, some clients prefer to just keep a couple years of income in cash on the sidelines. Well, up until recently, cash has really returned 0%. And even right now, it still loses money in terms of return, even if your bank account, or if you find a quote unquote high yield savings account that returns 2 or 3%, while inflation is 8 or 9, that's still a net negative return. So there's, you know, going to be some cash drag on the portfolio. So it's important to think about, okay, what trade-offs do you want to make? And in that case, right, we would say, okay, if this person, you know, needed $50,000 per year in withdrawals, they might, instead of, in, you know, keeping their $1 million portfolio invested, they might invest $850,000 or $900,000 and then keep $100,000, $150,000, $200,000, whatever their number is, in cash. Well, what happens when you do that is that drags down the overall return of the portfolio. So some people are okay with that and realize that that's the trade-off they're going to accept, and that's the plan we move forward with. Other people might use a bond ladder, and they might say, okay, well, especially since rates have gone up now, you can get a 1-year bond that pays 4% or some, you know, more than 4%. Well, you could say, okay, well, we at least know the principal is protected. And then you, if you hold the bond to maturity, you get the yield on it. In that case, you know, 4% or whatever the number is. So at least you're earning a little bit more than the bank, and you know that that principal is protected. Now you can purchase a bond ladder and buy a bond that matures in 1 year, and then another bond that matures in 2 years, and then another bond that matures in 3 years, et cetera, depending on how long you want to go out inside the portfolio. Now, let me be clear there in speaking that I'm referring to there an individual bond ladder where you're actually buying the individual bonds rather than holding a bond ETF. And there's a big difference with that. I'm not going to get too far into the weeds with it today, but if you look at the ticker IEF comes to my mind right now. It's a 7 to 10 year treasury ETF. And let me pull up just where we're at year to date there. Year to date, that ETF is down 18%, where you would realize, I mean, you would see that in your account. Whereas if you held an individual bond to maturity, then you would, you know, depending on, you know, if the bond was the bond's quality, right? The goal of that is holding a bond that has a good quality and a decent yield so that at the end of the bond's term, AKA the maturity date, you get back your principal plus some interest. Now, that's different than, you know, doing a bond ladder with ETFs, or now they have these bullet share ETFs out there, which again are a little bit past the scope of this situation. We're just talking about what are some ways that people can mitigate sequence of returns risk in their portfolio. So cash, bond ladders, CDs now are, you know, paying, you can get a 1 year CD that's paying 4% right now, things like that. So those are a few ways to do it. Some other ways, you can hedge with hedged ETFs. I've talked about that, or buffered ETFs. I've talked about that on previous episodes, you know, buffered ETFs that hedge some downside in the market, but still give you some upside. You can also hedge with annuities, which I've talked about previously in a different episode as well. So there are ways to do this. However, just speaking to retirees, right, about just returns and how returns are generated and what types of returns matter, I can definitely say that returns in terms of average returns matter way more in accumulation phases than they do when you're actually taking the money out. And I mentioned that multiple times in this podcast before, but just reiterating again, average returns in retirement don't really matter. What matters is the ability to develop the highest possible safe income from the assets that you've accumulated in order to have the biggest income later. So let me pull up just one more other example. And this goes back to my early days in the business. And it talks about just what if you had cash on the sidelines in various different scenarios. So this one specifically uses cash value and life insurance, which I'm not going to get into the weeds on, you know, whether or not life insurance is good or bad. This is just a simple version. You can just think of, you have a separate account with cash in it, or a separate account that's not tied to stock market risk, let's just say. Now, what this looks at is S&P 500 returns from 1973 to 1993. And in the first 2 years, the portfolio receives negative returns. Now, luckily in this case, so this is interesting, it's the same case. It starts, or it's a similar case, I should say. Starts with a 65-year-old with $1 million, and they're actually taking out $70,000 per year, which is a 7% withdrawal rate. And they're projecting this out to age 85. So they start at 65, projecting it to 85. So that's 20 years of returns, $1 million starting balance, taking out $70,000 per year. And then they're actually giving this person an inflation adjustment. I think they call this person Tom. They're giving Tom an inflation adjusted withdrawal as well throughout the years. In this case, from if we're just, you know, back testing returns from 1973 to 1993, over that 20 year period, Tom starts with $1 million, takes out 7% or 70,000 per year with inflation adjusted, with inflation adjustment. And then at age 85, 20 years later, he still has 444,000. That's great. He didn't run out of money, and he still took out money in the years that, you know, after years that were negative. That's great. He still has money. His plan did not fail. That's good. Now, what they're going to compare this to in this brochure, I think, I mean, it's just a PDF, right? In this brochure, is out of that 20-year period, the S&P 500 was down five different years. One, two, three, four, five. Five different years. The first two consecutive years of retirement, and then in year five-ish, and then in year eight-ish, and then in year 17-ish. So now what they're going to compare is, instead of making the $70,000 withdrawal from the retirement account, they make a, in this case, again, they're using permanent life insurance, but let's just say it's cash on hand. They're taking money from assets that are not invested in the stock market, AKA a cash reserve, or something similar. And then they want you to look at the results. So you start with $1 million, the market's down. So instead of taking money from your investment portfolio, you take it from cash on hand. The next year, same thing, you take it from cash on hand. So now your cash bucket is going down, right? But your portfolio is, although it's going down, you're not selling and you're not locking in those losses. So then what happens in year three? The market bounces back, your portfolio gets a little bit of a bounce back, and you're still hanging in there. Fast forward all the way down to the end, year 20. In this example, client age 65, $1 million account value, starts, you know, taking out 70,000 per year with an inflation adjustment. However, in the 5 years over the 20-year period where the market was down, they did not take money out of the portfolio. Well, what's the outcome? At the end, age 85, they have $3.5 million. This is way different than the person that just said, whatever, let's just keep withdrawing from the portfolio. As you can remember, without having that cash bucket on the sideline, this account has $444,000 at the end of age 85. But if you had cash on the sideline, the account value not only has more than the $1 million that you started with, it has $3.5 million. Now, this brochure is a little bit interesting because it doesn't necessarily compare apples to apples. This is assuming that in case one, you know, Tom just has the $1 million, and in case two, Tom has $1 million plus another couple hundred thousand in just cash sitting on the sideline. So maybe a more fair comparison would have been, you know, Tom's starting value would be $800,000 and then he has $200,000 in cash. However, the concept stays similar in the sense that it's important to have some assets on the sideline that you can withdraw money from that are not tied to the market, to make sure that just on accident, you don't retire when markets are going down. So just overall, it's important, right? This is a huge, huge thing in retirement. A lot of this industry is, you know, obsessed with just average returns, and not really putting the real concepts and realities to retirement planning, right? It's all about, this return's so sexy and this strategy's so sexy. Well, how about the strategy that actually gets you where you want to go with the least amount of stress and anxiety in your golden years and puts you in the position to retire the most successfully? And that's the strategy that I try to take. I try to stay strategy agnostic with clients, make sure that we are planning specifically for their retirement style to make sure that they do have the best peace of mind and, you know, the best outcomes for their retirement. I definitely encourage the people that are listening on audio only to check out the video or check out the links, because it really does a good job of explaining things and putting a visual to the audio that I've discussed here. In summary, going back to the beginning, make sure that you understand your 401k matches for the people that are still accumulating. And then in terms of sequence of returns or the orders of returns risk, make sure that you have a plan that is customized to you for handling bear markets and, you know, really helping your retirement style ensure success throughout your overall lifetime and your overall financial plan's lifetime, so you can have the best optimized plan. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to catching everyone next time. If you have questions, please let me know. Or if you want me to send, I've had a few people send me emails for the top retirement strategies for any market conditions. I've had a few people send emails, info@lifepointplanning.com. And I will send you over that PDF that discusses those strategies. Thanks again for listening, and I hope everyone stays safe and stays well. Take care.